Doctrinal developments. We go to the New Testament, doctrinal foundations, I should say. We go to the New Testament mainly for this, of course. New Testament epistles, of course, there are many illustrations in the Old Testament that can help us understand this, two being joined in one, and as Paul talks about in Ephesians 5, he goes back to Adam and Eve, the two shall be one flesh. That's an illustration of what I'm talking about the church being joined together and all the believers being one, and he uses that illustration. That's the church didn't start there in the Garden of Eden. There were believers there. Oh, yeah. Believers all down through the ages. But this is something unique. Particularly in chapters 2 and 3. I have on call Ephesians chapters 2 and 3. The Mount Everest of New Covenant Revelation. High watermark. Paul takes us as high as we can go. He takes the believer into heavenly places. He takes the believer, not just Jesus ascending into heaven, but we are crucified with him, buried with him, raised with him, ascended with him, and seated with him in heavenly places. These are some very, very deep and precious truths, aren't they? But chapters 2 and 3 are somewhat the Everest. I haven't climbed Everest, but I've seen Everest. And one of the most beautiful things in climbing the Himalayas, is going to a place called Tiger Point. And that's where people gather to see the sunrise on the tip of Mount Everest. Yes. Everyone goes, when it happens, boing, the tip is closed with the sun. Beautiful, it's a beautiful sight. Yes. Well, here we have some of those wondrous truths. Peter said, yes, I've read Paul's epistles. Some of the things are hard to understand, he says. Peter says, yes. Apostle Peter. Now, here are some of these things that we can consider regarding the doctrinal foundations of this. It's a revelation of the mystery of the one new man, once hidden, now revealed. And we read of this, say, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4. Let's have a look at that, please. Ephesians chapter 3, 1 to 4. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, the word there, better word would be the stewardship of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have already written, chapters 1 and 2, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery or the secret of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by his Spirit to the holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I am a minister, a servant, according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. And verse 9, it also talks about the things hidden and so on. It is here that the Apostle Paul says there's new knowledge now. And it was secret. It's given to me so that I can give it to you. Much like the Apostle John said, I received a revelation from God the Father. God the Father gave it to the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus gave it to me, and now the angel is passing it on to you, fellow believers. And here is this great revelation. These are amazing words. It's the grace of God with the apostle that is not just individual salvation, but it is corporate salvation. And then this mystery tells us that we as Gentiles are brought near to the covenants and the commonwealth of Israel by the blood of Christ in the second chapter. Verse 11, following verse 10 that we just quoted. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. And that meant aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So we've got some near ones and some far ones. And now they're all together. The far ones are the Gentiles. Away from God. What did the Hungarians or the Norwegians know about the offerings in the tabernacle? They didn't know. And the Romans, and so it goes on. Those in Africa didn't know. Far off, not only far off geographically, but far off spiritually in their heathen darkness, which they love and enjoyed. But now, something has been done by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. They have been brought near. They have been reached and they have been brought near. And they've been brought near to what? They've been brought near to something that was previously in existence. You see, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ had a beginning. What was before the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? There was the congregation of the Lord. But God deposited his revelation. God deposited the doorway into fellowship with him, with the nation of Israel. And at times, God did reach out to other people who were ready for it. Jonah. The next generation, Nineveh, judgment. Judgment. That generation was ready. God reached out in his foreknowledge. But now we have these being brought to that which was already in existence, but making a new company. Now there's a parallel truth to this, and that is the operation of the olive tree. God's strategies for the Jewish nation. Romans chapter 9, 10 and 11. How there is the election of Israel to be the ministering nation to the world. Abraham, in your seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. That's the channel. And Israel was chosen by God to be a model nation and a ministering nation to the world, and they failed. They failed. Deuteronomy 4 says, if you obey my commandments and my words, all the nations of the world will say, what a wonderful God you have and what wonderful laws you have. Deuteronomy 4. A model nation. We will follow the ways of the nation of Israel. That's what God wanted. And then also a ministering nation. They were to be a priestly nation. A priest stands between God and the people, ministering both ways, going into the presence of the Lord with the praises and offerings of the people, coming out from the presence of the Lord with the word of the Lord. They were to be a priestly nation. They failed. But a remnant was there by which God was able to continue his purposes. Now, with the olive tree, we who are Gentiles, the majority of us I think here are Gentiles, we're the far off people, been brought near. We're wild branches, and Arnold Frankton-Barham said, yes, some of you are pretty wild at a conference that we were at. A couple of said, I don't mind mixing. See, he was a Jewish person. He was in the olive tree with the roots Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. He said, I don't mind mixing with all you went wild Gentiles. Yeah. We've been brought into that. It's already in existence. We've been put in, drawing on the sap, drawing from the roots, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We'll see that in session 4. The roots didn't bear you, but the roots are bearing you.